What I wanted to talk about to you tonight is something I call the Great Delusion. And the reason I feel this is important is that it's gathering steam as we talk about it. In particular, and I know this is going to sound a little freaky, but UFOs and aliens, okay? And we hear about it all the time. And when I was a kid, you said UFO, right? They were nuts, right? Let's put them in a hug me jacket and send them to the funny farm, you know? Because, there's something wrong with that person. But I believe there is a presence in this earth or on this earth that is doing all these signs and wonders that we're seeing as far as UFOs and extraterrestrials and so forth. Now, do I believe they're extraterrestrial? No. I'm going to get into that, okay? Because that defies all laws of physics, okay? And that God designed, and doesn't explain a lot of the things that these extraterrestrials can do, all right? But interdimensional, there's another thing, okay? And we're going to get into that. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that's why I believe this is important, guys, that we cover this, that we talk about this, that we look into this with seriousness, okay? Because there is something going on in our earth. If you watch the news, my goodness, guys, every day there's strange signs in the skies, the cloud formations, the sonic booms, all this stuff is going on. Did you see the thing in Russia with the insects? That they have mosquitoes completely covering people when they go outside. I mean, just they're covered. It looks like they're a different color. Things are happening in the earth. Birds are not going where they're supposed to go, where they used to go. I mean, there are things that are changing on the earth. Yeah, and so things are happening. Birds are dropping out of the sky. Okay, there's strange things happening on our earth. And why is that? Well, I believe, like a lot of you probably do, is that we're in the end times. We're in that time or that particular season where things are drawing to a close. And because of that, we're going to start seeing a lot of strange things. And we're going to look at some scripture right now. And I know it's a little long, but we're going to look at the scripture because I want to really put this in context with the scripture of God. Not Bruce's opinion, not conspiracy theory or what I found on YouTube, but actually what the Bible says about it. And then look at it with seriousness, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, guys, go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read the whole thing. And again, like I said, it's a little long, but I think it's important to take Scripture in context. Sometimes we'll take a piece of Scripture and we'll just focus on that. You know, you'll take half a verse and stop and then go from there. Where you've missed the context of that particular verse, you know, what was the whole premise to that verse being spoken by the Lord or whoever? And so it's important that we get the whole thing, the whole truth. And so it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and this is New King James, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means." That's a biggie, guys. "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." And we know who the restrainer is. Who's the restrainer? Holy Spirit, right? Okay? The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's really, guys, keeping things going right now, keeping us protected, keeping us in right fellowship, helping us, you know, when we need help from the Lord. And it says, "And then the lawless one," in verse 8, "will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Lots of speculation on who the lawless one is. I'm not going to speculate who I think it is. Okay? There is going to be a lawless one, period. That I know for sure. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the works of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Okay? Remember that. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I believe when the Holy Spirit is helping us, He's giving us those spiritual eyes, and we're seeing things. Have you ever seen, like, when somebody comes into a church, you get kind of an icky feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, or a really good feeling, like, oh, you know, like oh, I just love that person. When they come in, it brightens up the room. What is that? That's the Spirit of God telling us in our gut, or wherever you want to call it, in our spirit, that, hey, watch out, or hey, this person is on fire for the Lord. This is somebody you can trust, right? And I believe that's important that we listen to that, okay? Not ignore that, but always listen to that, and because that could be God trying to help us. But verse 11 is real important, guys. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is a possibility of what this delusion could be, what I think it might be. And many people are really jumping on this bandwagon. Now, I do want to clarify this with you guys. I am not saying this is definitely what's going to happen. All right? Have you ever been wrong before? Right? I've been wrong before, at least once in my life, you know, but I've been wrong. And so I'm telling you what I believe the Spirit has been showing me. But I want you to take a look for yourselves. Do not take everything Bruce says tonight as complete gospel and believe wholeheartedly and go out and try to tell people the same exact thing. What I want you to do is take notes or really pay attention so that when you encounter this particular individual or this particular situation, you have something to fall back on. You have scripture to fall back on. You have, you know, that knowledge of what's going on. But I believe that the strong delusion could be this UFO and this alien conspiracy thing that's going on. And it says in verse 11 again, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Okay? There's a lie coming, some big, big lie of some sort. And that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And this is the context of the Antichrist system, guys. I mean, this is it in a nutshell. This is called the Great Apostasy, the Great Falling Away. And I believe with all my heart that we're there. I mean, you look around and you just see, and yes, you know, people would say, well, 50 years ago they felt the same way. Yes, they did 50 years ago, but it's 50 years later, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff really picking up. First of all, where's Israel now, you know? Is it a nation? Where are their people? They're going back in droves. You know, I mean, stuff's coming to a head, guys. Okay, something's really taking place here. And in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right? We're warring against something that we can't really see. It's not tangible. It's not something that we can grab a hold of. But we're warring against it. All right? Notice anything about these UFOs and these aliens? You can't really grab a hold of them, right? You can't touch them. As a matter of fact, they disappear. They reappear. They do all kinds of things. You know, how do you explain Bigfoot or Yeti or any of these other things? Could they be, and I'm just suggesting this, could they possibly be demonic? Okay, because that would explain how they can all of a sudden just disappear. Okay, they can't get samples, they can't get these things and capture them and everything else, but yet there's sightings all over the earth constantly going on, and a lot of them people don't even get reported. They don't, people, I mean, come on. You know, a lot of people have seen aliens and UFOs, okay, and didn't tell anybody. Why? Because, hey, you're going to be a nut, all right? You're going to be considered a nut if you do. You know, they have the statistics right now of over 45,000 documented sightings of UFOs. That's documented. That's people that came forward and said, hey, I saw this. This is what happened to me. And they did, you know, a report and everything else. Everything from blah, 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 living out in a shack, to astronauts, to pilots, to people that are the Canadian Prime Minister. I mean, these are people, these are not nuts, okay? These are not people that are just wacko, you know, like I said, hug me jacket a clientele, but these are people that really know what they're talking about and are not deceived as far as they don't, how can I say this? They're not looking at this with with biased opinions. Because a lot of them, when they come forth with this, people just ridicule the garbage out of them. I mean, they're persecuted like you wouldn't believe. And because of that, like I said, a lot of people don't come forward. But again, I think what Ephesians says, where it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, I think that's what's going on, is these powers and these world forces of the darkness, they're working against us, okay? And it also says in Corinthians, guys, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised itself up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So I guess the big question is, what rulers? I mean, what powers, what world forces, what fortresses, what speculations, what lofty things, what spiritual forces of wickedness are we warring against? And it is my firm belief that Satan and all his demonic hordes are preparing to unleash one of the greatest deceptions on mankind that has ever been undertaken. And I believe it's going to be these UFOs. What if, for example, 3 million people on the earth, okay, I'm just throwing a number out there, could be many more, but 3 million people on the earth vanish like that. How are you going to explain that? I mean, what are you going to say? How, you know, you're going to go, what happened? What happened? Now, many people, especially in America, are going to know, oh, the Bible said, you know, there's going to be a rapture, and they're going to realize, oh, my, there were raptures. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be freaked out. They're going to go, where did everybody go? But what if an alien showed up in a spaceship and said, oh, here we are. We're here to enlighten you. We had to get rid of all the Christians first so that we could go ahead and get rid of the people that were going to hold you back from your enlightenment. Okay? It's a possibility, is it not? It's something to think about, because I believe there's going to have to be some kind of way to speak about how this is going to happen, or what happened, how to try to put a spin on it that's going to make kind of sense to anybody. And I believe, because the Holy Spirit's going to be gone, all right, the Holy Spirit's going to be removed, that people are going to buy into this in an instant. First of all, it says God will send on them a deluding spirit. But first of all, it says that people are going to want to believe a lie. They're going to want to believe something to explain what happened. And if you come up with anything that's going to sound pretty good, people are going to jump on the bandwagon. Don't they do it now? Okay? I mean, let's face it. We see it all around us. People jump on a bandwagon quick because they want to believe that particular lie. Whether or not it's true doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't affect my lifestyle, okay, the things I want to do, the things I, you know, that I think are okay that you might not think is, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I believe that that's going to be what's going to happen, is that there's going to be a big deception that's coming, and that could possibly be explained away by aliens coming to enlighten the United, you know, us on the earth. Could it also be where the some have even speculated? I like to listen to Tim LaHaye, Josh Peck. There's a lot of good guys out there. L.A. Marzulli. There's a whole bunch of guys. If you look these guys up, you know, you type in UFOs on YouTube, guys, you'll go crazy. Yeah, I mean, you could watch them from now until your day of death and never see them all. I mean, there's that many on there of people of different speculations, and you can get very confused, okay, as well, because there's false misrepresentation and there's true representation, all right? And it's a ploy that the enemy uses so that you don't know what to believe. So will you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Okay, well, I don't know what to believe, so I'm not going to believe any of it. I'm just going to throw it all out. And I don't believe as Christians we should do that. I believe we should do our homework. We should be looking into things. When we see something and we feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, I want you to check this out for yourself, He may be trying to teach us something new, which is awesome to think about. I want to learn all the time. I like learning new things, all right? But He may be preparing us for something that He's going to enlighten us with, the Holy Spirit is going to, and so we need to pay attention to those things. But again, I had a very favorite speaker who just recently passed away. His name was Chuck Missler. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched Chuck or not, but man, you can watch him. I mean, they've got so many videos and everything on Chuck. You could, again, you could watch him till the day you die and probably not see him all. There's all kinds of stuff out there. But the guy, I really feel, really did his homework. But again, like I said before, and I keep reiterating this because it's very important, he will tell you, and I will tell you, do your homework. Look into this. Don't just blow it off, say, oh, that was a good message, or, oh, yeah, it could be, and just walk away from it. Because I believe God is trying to tell us that, hey, guys, something is coming, and there are going to be people out there, and I'm going to tell you right now, I know two in this church alone that have had experiences. All right, that's just two that have told me about their experiences. Okay, that doesn't mean that there aren't more. It's just the ones, you know, some that maybe I'm not talking about that because that was creepier or whatever the fact may be. All right, but I believe that there's a lot more people that have had this experience. Again, I believe it's demonic. Turn to Luke 27, verses 7 through 11, guys. Luke 21, verses 7 through 11. This is the sign of the times and the end of the age. Starting with verse 7, it says, so they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. Sound familiar? And there will be fearful sights and great signs from where? From heaven. Now take that in context, guys. There will be great signs from heaven. Okay, he didn't say there'll be great signs from earth, but from heaven. And when we look at heaven, is heaven a place that we can reach out and grab a hold of? No. We know that heaven, as a Christian, you believe heaven, right? You believe in heaven. But I believe that it's in a different dimension. It's not somewhere out in outer space, you know, that you got to go, you know, 10 billion light years and then you get to heaven. I believe it's in a different dimension. You know, there is proof that there are different dimensions, guys. There's all kinds of people that can prove there are different dimensions. And I don't want to get too far into that yet. But super string theorists believe that there are a minimum of 10 space-time dimensions. We live in 3, by the way. Bosonic theory, that's the people that the Higgs boson and everything else, believe there's 26 different dimensions. All right. So you think about it. When it talks about a third heaven, a second heaven, a first heaven, okay, could that possibly be a different dimension? All right. What about Jesus when he came to the earth? How did he come to the earth after he was raised from the dead? Remember the disciples when they were in the room, right? They're hiding, right? Afterwards, okay. Did Jesus just appear all of a sudden in a locked? They were in a locked room. Jesus just appeared. Did he not? Okay, you guys remember the scripture? It was Luke. No, John 20, verses 19 and 20. It says, we believe in the spiritual hyperdimensional world as Christians, the third heaven, hell, etc. Consider how Jesus could have appeared in a locked room and vanished. But also consider this, guys. He could eat, right? He could drink. He could be seen. He could be heard, right? All right, but he told Thomas, come up here and what? Touch me, okay? But Jesus came from nowhere. It's not like he landed in a spaceship, right? Or beam me down, Scotty, okay? He just appeared. And I believe that's dimensional. It's just like the angels that used to visit people, for example, Mary or the prophets and everything else. They would just appear and they would disappear. Look at Philip with the eunuch, right? What happened when he came up out of the water after baptizing the eunuch? Boom, he was gone, right? And he was translated somewhere. I believe they put him in a different dimension and they put him right back on the earth, right back where he was supposed to be. I believe there are things that just boggle our mind. Remember, the Bible says there are things that we can't possibly even imagine that you can do. And I can imagine some pretty cool things, but you can't imagine all the things that are going on in the spiritual realms. So is it not likely that there's an interdimensional world instead of an extraterrestrial world? You know, Einstein proved beyond a shadow of a doubt the speed of light is impossible. And the reason is because as you get closer to the speed of light, mass increases. All right? And the more power you put into it, all it does is make bigger mass. All right? So you can't reach the speed of light as a body, a physical body. We can't possibly reach the speed of light. All right? And because of that, all right, this stuff where, you know, we came 1,000 light years. Okay, 1,000 light years means for 1,000 years, they traveled at the speed of light to reach us. Okay, does that sound logical to you? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all to me. And then they came just to kind of observe us. I mean, come on, you know. They're going to come in and they're going to try to take over. Or they're going to let them know, hey, we're here and we're here to enlighten you or whatever, okay? But I believe it's interdimensional. But here's the big question, guys. How is Satan going to deceive the masses? Have you thought about how he would actually go about doing it? And the reason I say that is because it's all around us now. Look at the media, okay, for example, number one. And you know, everybody in this building probably has a TV, except I think Yolanda doesn't have a TV. Good for you, Yolanda. Oh, Barb doesn't either. But most of us have TVs, right, or radios or something. We're involved with the media somehow. But movies, like you've got Men in Black, E.T., Avatar. You know, when I tried to look up how many movies, there were so many, I wasn't going to sit there and count them all. They're all about E.T., extraterrestrials, okay? But you notice one thing, the theme in these movies, many of the E.T.s are what? They're good E.T.s. They're here to help us. They're here to enlighten us, to teach us. Now, you have your bad ones, but you have your good ones as well. Okay, just to put like a human perspective on these extraterrestrials, you know, that, oh, yes, they can be good. I mean, there's movies about them falling in love and getting married to humans and all this stuff, right? It's out there. And people are getting desensitized by constant bombardment about UFOs and ETs. It's even in the news. And we're going to watch a video here in just a second about it. But it's even in the news. And it's being covered all the time in the news. Why? Because it gives a big wow factor. But also, again, I believe so that people are getting desensitized. They're hearing it all the time. Oh, UFOs. Yeah. You know, a lot of people do believe in UFOs and don't even smirk or go, yeah, you're nuts anymore. I mean, most people, they said, one statistic that I saw said 78% of people believe in UFOs, okay? And they don't think that they're, you know, they're not crazy. They believe they really exist. They're like, well, we can't explain a lot of things, so something's got to be out there, you know? And because of that, I believe he's trying to desensitize us. TV shows, Ancient Aliens, okay, is a biggie, guys, on the History Channel. They're constantly bombarding us. Oh, aliens did this. Aliens did this. Aliens did this. All right? I believe an alien being type did this, but I believe it's demonic. I'm fully convinced, just like the angels, you know, who are the demons, guys? Who are the demons? Fallen angels, right? We know that to be true. All right? The Bible talks about it. They're fallen angels. Now, did God rob them of their power when they fell? No, he did not. It doesn't say he stripped them of all their power and they had nothing. He stripped them of their authority, but he didn't strip them of their powers. Okay? And that's, you get into the Nephilim, and that's a whole other subject. But you get into the Nephilim and the giants and everything else. I mean, these beings can do things that we can do. Okay? But they can also appear and disappear, and I believe they do that through dimensional some way. When we pray, guys, when we pray to the Lord, do we pray to the Lord directly? How do we do that? Think of what our prayers are doing. Are they possibly crossing a dimensional boundary to the Lord? I believe the Lord is in a different dimension. I believe our prayers go to the Lord, right? The Bible says when we pray, it goes straight to the Lord's place. And I believe that it goes to the Lord, okay? So we're praying across dimensional lines now. They're trying to open all kinds of dimensions. I mean, there's all kinds of experience going on. Has anybody heard of CERN? Do you guys know what CERN is? The Linear Hadron Collider. If you haven't, write it down. It's CERN. It'll freak you right out, okay? It's called the Linear Hadron Collider. It is in Switzerland. It is a 16.7-mile track buried underground, 100 feet underground. It goes through Switzerland and France. Part of it is in France. This thing, they have spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on this thing. And as a matter of fact, the operating budget is $1 billion a year for this thing, okay? For all the scientists and all the experience that they're doing. What they are doing is they are taking atoms at the speed of light. They're making them go the speed of light, and they're smashing them into each other and seeing what happens, okay? Now, they're doing things. They're opening portals. They've even said, we're hoping to open portals. They are doing something, because if you start looking at the videos, you'll see weird things above their facility at times. I mean, clouds and formations that shouldn't be, I mean, they're not natural. And there's all kinds of weird things going on at this place. People are looking to open dimensions. They're hoping for these new portals to open them up. But here's the problem with that, guys. When we open something up, what's to prevent something from coming through? Right? It's opening a door. Somebody can walk right through as you're walking by, right? And who knows what they're opening a door to? My goodness, we have no clue. No clue. And although it is a bit frightening, as Christians, we don't have to worry, because the Lord said, do not worry, I've got you in the palm of my hand. We don't have to worry about this. But we need to be aware, they're doing some really weird things at CERN, C-E-R-N, or the LHC, and it's in Switzerland. And look it up, guys. I would really encourage it, because it's got some fascinating stuff going on there. But it's also some very, very dangerous stuff. And there's just, it's a whole message, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing. But also, and again, while I talk about good and bad, has anybody ever heard of panspermia? Panspermia is the hypothesis that life exists on throughout the universe. This huge universe, wouldn't God put other beings out there? Okay? That's the logic behind panspermia, is that this huge universe, God wouldn't waste this universe, waste, right? As though it's a waste to God when he can hold it in the palm of his hand, right? It's a waste to have this whole universe and not have other life forms out there. And panspermia is the belief, and listen now, this is from Wikipedia, but it's a hypothesis that life exists throughout the universe, distributed by space dust, meteoroids, asteroids, comets. Haven't we heard all this on the media? Planetoids, and also by spacecraft carrying unintended contamination by microorganisms. A lot of people are really jumping on this bandwagon as to how we started. Okay, it wasn't soup. It wasn't over billions of years. No, we came from somewhere else, and they seeded us, and that's how we came to be. But the problem with this is a couple things. First of all, 13.8 billion years ago, 13.8 billion years ago, they say the Big Bang happened. Okay? So if after the Big Bang, how did they get created that came to the earth? Okay, how did these seeds and organisms get created and bring them to the earth? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There has to be a start. So there has to be a creation somewhere down the line. You can't get anything from nothing, right? You know, if I take that chair and I put it right here, okay, it's not going to turn into two chairs in 100 years. In a million years, it's not going to turn into two chairs. Why is that? It's because it was created. It's the same with us. We were created beings, and something had to be created. So panspermia is really taking off, and I want you to be aware that a lot of people are really jumping on this bandwagon. Oh, yeah, it came back. But see, they don't look past that part. They just look right here, you know, panspermia, boom. They don't look past, okay, well, what created those beings, all right? They just want to, oh, that explains it. Okay, good, right? We want to believe a lie. And a lot of people have had experiences with this. A lot of people have had experiences with things that we can't possibly explain. And I have a very special guest that I want to bring to you tonight that actually had this experience, okay? And Judy McNeil is going to come up. She's going to share with us some experiences that she's had. And Judy, if you would, hon, could you come up?
Okay, well, in 1986, I was headed to a Women's Aglow conference that was in Toledo, Washington. I am from Ilwaco, Long Beach area. Had my son with me, who was 12 or so, and my German Shepherd dog. On the way, we were up going, this is important, but kind of not. But anyway, make a long story short, I had to stop before I got on the freeway and let the dog go tinkle before we got on the freeway. because mom was going to take care of the dog and the kid for this conference. So I pulled in there, and there was a motorhome there when I pulled in, and my son got out with the dog, and I finally, when I got out to tell him to come back, there was a man. He was outside the motorhome, and he said something to me, and I went over there. Well, this man said to me, he asked me a question about the road, and I told him, and he said, well, I'm not really going there. He said, I was going up the freeway, he says, and the Lord said to me, I have a message for a gal. Would you go give it to her? And he said, sure. And, I mean, so he was going up north this way. And it was up the Columbia near Rainier, Oregon is where he says, the Lord brought me here. I sat here. The Lord said, just wait. So I was sitting here reading my Bible. When you drove in, pulled in, he said, the Lord said to me, there she is. That's her. And so I thought, oh, well, anyway, he told me some things about myself and some things that were happening in my life that I took care of and repented of. And he taught me, and it was a great word from the Lord. It was a great word from the Lord. And there's one part of this I did not tell you. I thought, nah, I'm not going to say it, but now you segued into it. I had had a Christian bookstore prior to that for a couple years, and I was always been a Star Trek fan, and I had these bumper stickers that said, beam me up, Lord. And I had one on my car. I put it on the paint of my car, which my husband at the time was not thrilled with. So I knew I couldn't get it off. Well, as we were walking back to the car, he said, he was talking about praising the God. He said, if we don't praise him, even the rocks will cry out. And I said, yeah. And he said, even this dog praises the Lord. I had never heard that dog bark. I had never heard her do anything ever when she was 7 years old. And he pointed to her after he said it, and she put her snout in the air, and she howled this prettiest howl. And he said, then he walked over to my car. He said, this doesn't please the Lord. He does not want you to have it on his car, on your car, because it doesn't point to the Lord. And he reached over on the paint and peeled that thing off like nobody could have done that. So what he said to me, the last thing he said to me was, he looked at me and he said, you've seen UFOs, haven't you? And I thought, yeah. And he said to my son, you've seen them too. And Sean said, yeah. And I thought, I didn't know he saw them. Well, anyway, he said, I just want you to know that the Lord's going to use you one day to explain to people what these things really are. He says, you really know they're not, you know what they are, don't you? I said, oh, yeah, they're definitely demonic. Okay, so fast forward through the time. Well, at that time, what I'd seen was we lived on the Long Beach Peninsula, and 28 miles of beach, I'd seen them zipping back and forth up and down the beach. And a lot of people on the peninsula at that time had seen them. Some people came forth. Most people were laughed at. So I didn't say anything. I was a young married gal, and I saw them. I mean, and they hovered, and I saw them, and I thought, what? So fast forward, this guy said this. I was in a friend of mine in his pickup, and another gal was with us. We were three in the front. We were going to cross the river, Columbia River, to Astoria, and that bridge is 4.8 miles. So just before we got to the bridge, we were driving along the river. It was a clear night, no wind, which was unusual, very dark, and all of a sudden, Bruce goes, what is that? And not that Bruce. And we pulled over, and they're hovering over Astoria, and it came down like this over the water. He said, oh, I think that's a Coast Guard helicopter. My dad had a helicopter. He was a pilot. I knew that was no helicopter. There was no lights on the ends of the rotors, and they were different colors. They were glittery. They were, you know, this and that and the other thing. And it would come down close to the water. Then it would go back up. It would stop. And it would, 1 minute it was here, and then shoop, was over here. And the three of us, it was kind of funny, because he was a pastor. He thought, I'm not going to talk about this. And none of us talked about it. I wanted to talk about it, but nobody else wanted to talk about it. I mean, that was as clear of as anything I've ever seen. Okay, now I said those things to say this is the difference. I did say this to you. I'm a night owl. And one of the things I used to love to do was go over to Astoria to grocery shop, or whatever, there was a store open there that was 24 hours, a Thriftway or something. That was new for us country bumpkins. So I went over there at like 10 o'clock one night to go grocery shopping, and I got carried away and looking at this and that and the other thing, and it was dark, and my son was home asleep. That's why I left, you know, I just left him there. He was fine. And when I came out with my groceries, I about fell out. It was a full gale force storm, which I knew was coming. It was just goofy of me. And I said, God, I am so sorry. I repent for being so irresponsible. I did not pay attention. Got carried away, got in my car, started to drive across this bridge before you get to the big bridge, completely flooded up to my door. I've never, ever since or before seen it like that. So I prayed, dear God, get me home. I thought, I can't get stuck in Astoria with my kid home by himself. Good grief. By the way, I didn't do that shopping anymore, that kind of midnight shopping. But there was nobody out. I mean, nobody was as dumb as me to be out. And so I drove through that water, and a car came up behind me, kind of bright, but not like bright headlights. Two of, you know, like this, and I watched it. I glanced at it, but I was watching the road. Got over this bridge, came up around, and the other bridge is a big loop like this. And this car turned where I turned, and he went up over the loop with me, and I'm watching these two lights in the back. They stayed at a decent distance. They weren't glaring in my rearview mirror, but I thought that was interesting. Well, when I got to the end of the bridge, I turned left. He turned left. I turned right. He turned right. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Turned left again to go to my house. And, you know, I just had peace. I just had peace, even though I was driving through gale force winds. Suddenly, I just had this peace come over me, and the wind just kind of died down. And I came up over the little rise to my house, like the next turn would have been to my street. It was maybe not even a half a mile. And I was watching in the mirror these lights, because I thought, well, I wonder where this guy lives. Who else is out this time? I'm watching to see where he turned. Well, he just stayed the same distance the whole time. And all of a sudden, I glanced up in the mirror, and those lights went shh, and they just disappeared. And I thought, what? That's not like headlights. The guy didn't turn his headlights off. So I pulled over. I turned around. I thought, I'm going to go see what driveway he turned into. There was no road there. There was nowhere that he could have turned. And, you know, when you turn off a road, you see the headlights bend and go. It wasn't like that. And the thing that the Lord spoke to me that was so awesome was I knew that he'd sent me angels to get me home. It just touched me so deeply. And I thought, I felt the Lord. It was his humor. Those lights it was just kind of like a bye-bye, and they just went and disappeared. The difference was when I saw those other lights, my spirit was, oh, it was horrible. So it's really important. Maybe I will. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to ever share here. I'm sharing it, but it's really important to stay prayed up. Arm yourself with this, that we don't get sucked in. And the encouraging thing is I could tell the difference. All those other two experiences with those other lights, you know, I mean, that one in Astoria was beautiful. It was just beautiful. I could have sat there for a long time and watched it, but none of us wanted to. And the difference between that and the angels, I believe, that followed me home, I could tell. So we got to stay prayed up, and we got to stay sensitive to the Lord, and he's going to give us that discernment.
All right. Thank you, Judy. So, you know, again, there have been other people that I've talked to that have actually had the same experiences or different types of experiences, but experiences like that. We know and we believe in angels, right? We know if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible, God sent them all the time. I mean, he had them wipe out whole armies, for goodness sakes, you know, tens of thousands of people. And I mean, these angels are real beings, and they can appear and they can and be seen or not be seen and still be active. So I believe, again, that it's an interdimensional thing, not an extraterrestrial. Okay? In Matthew 24:24, Jude, there's the verse says, and this is really biggie, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, how could these guys actually deceive the elect? I believe with all my heart it's because the elect don't know anything about it or don't want to know anything about it. They either don't care or they don't want to know or they don't want to take the time to find out for themselves. And I think that's dangerous, guys. We should always be aware of what's going on, and as the Lord is teaching us and growing us, and we're all going to grow at different times. We're all going to learn things at different times. But maybe this tonight is the night for you guys to kind of just think about this. Well, I've never really considered this before, you know, and looked into this. You know, just do that. Take a little extra time and really check it out for yourself and see what, and pray about this. Pray about this seriously and say, Lord, reveal to me the truth. I want to know the truth. Okay? And he will, you know, it says if you ask and seek, you will what? You will find, right? And so we want to find the truth. And if you want to find the truth, you've got to sometimes do some homework. Even it may mean turning the TV off. It may mean, you know, skipping bowling that night, whatever the case may be. But sometimes it even involves a little bit of sacrifice on our part. But it's for your benefit. It's so, like Judy said, so that you're prayed up, so that you're aware, so you can see things, so you're not misled. Because it says, if possible, even the elect could be deceived. That scares me. I don't want to be deceived. I do not. I want to know what God is doing, where he's at. You know, is this of you, Lord? I want to know how to find out if it's from him or not. And sometimes that involves actually looking into it ourselves. I don't know if you guys know who Tucker Carlson is, okay? But he's big on Fox News, all right? This is 20 July 2018. This is 6 weeks ago, okay? If you look at Tucker Carlson, this is his fourth time he's done these interviews. So this is a guy, this is not a fruitcake. Tucker Carlson is not a fruitcake, all right? And yet he's been looking into this seriously. Like I said, this is his fourth time. That he's had, I mean, he had a pilot on one time, and I was going to show that one too, but we're out of time. But he had a pilot on there, and I mean, this guy was in charge of an F-18 squadron. This is not a flaky guy, and he experienced, as a matter of fact, it was hard to see, but the one where you saw the black screen and they were tracking, that was his airplane that was tracking this thing. It was on what they call auto track. And what that means is the computer automatically will follow whatever it is and keep it dead center. So you can see what it is, and it's just a speck. He called it a tic tac because that's what it looked like, a little tic tac. But one of the things that they noticed about it is there's no plumes, okay, no exhaust. There's nothing like that. And he himself even said it's not of this earth because he said it went from here to out of sight. He says like that. He said within 2 seconds. He says line of sight was 50 miles from where he was at. He said and it was gone in 2 seconds. Okay. He says that defies the law of physics. He says you can't. I mean, the G forces on a human body, it would kill you to go that fast, that quick. And he says and it made, you know, like movements that again are just not avail, are not able for us to do. And I think what's going on, guys, is that the stinkers are using, the demonic are using the, now I've got it written down here, I want to make sure I get it right. But they're using these spacecraft. They don't need spacecraft, okay? But I think they're using them so that it's a modality that modern technological man can understand. See, we can grasp a spaceship, okay? We understand a spaceship, and we understand, you know, aircraft and everything else now. And I believe that's why they're doing that. That's why there's these so-called ships going on and everything else. Because it's something we can understand. It's something we can put into our head and, oh, I can grasp this. And I believe that's what it's all about. If they came into real being, it'd probably freak everybody out, and nobody'd want, whoa, get away. You know, they'd be frightened. And it's, again, it's just one of those things where even the people that have been abducted, okay, and we're not going to get into this, but people that have been abducted by these things and probed and all kinds of crazy things that have happened. You know what? One of the things that I found out in a lot of those is that when they made or when they stated the name of Jesus, when they said, Jesus, help me, they were back where they were supposed to be right away, every time. Every time I didn't hear one person say, I was crying to Jesus and nothing happened. No, every time they were right back there. Now, if you're an extraterrestrial, what would you care about the name of Jesus? Right? Again, this just kind of reinforces to me the belief that these are interdimensional. They're fallen angels. And we need to be aware, guys, that these guys are out there and that they're really trying to set us up for a great big fall. In Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Okay, everything that God did exists and creates because of him. And the age-old lie is still alive and well, just repackaged to fit our modern mindset. Sounds exactly like what an Antichrist would say and do, right? Okay, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Antichrist wasn't a ET. Okay, I mean, he survives a head wound. I mean, there's all kinds of speculations, and I don't know if it's true or if that's what's going to be. You know, you could argue that fact, but it could be. It's a possibility. And again, do your homework. Please do your homework. Look into this a little bit and see what I'm talking about. Check out CERN. You'll freak. You'll be amazed at what they're doing out there and how they have opened portals. They know they're opening portals and they realize that they're doing it, but they don't know what they're doing, but they're hoping something good is going to come through. And I'm telling you right now, we know what's on the other side of those portals, and it may not be a very good thing that they're opening up. Just because you believe, don't believe that God exists doesn't make it so, right? I mean, let's face it, guys. Just because I don't believe God exists doesn't make it reality. A man-made created belief does not change reality. And the reality is God is who he says he is. He and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that's it. That's God. There isn't anything else. Okay, these wannabe gods, so-called little g's, right, are all created beings. You know, Satan himself, right, was a being that was created by God. He thought for some reason that he could ascend the throne. And, of course, we know how that turned out for him, you know. And ever since then, it's been a vendetta. It's been a revenge thing against God's people to deceive, to destroy, to anything he can do to keep people, to lull people to sleep, whatever he can do to keep people from coming into their own as God's people, to be all that we can be, right? Like the Marines say, be all you can be, all right? As Christians, we should be all we can be as well.